We are in week number 5 of a series that we called Sacred Rhythms. And, you know, when I first started thinking about the things that we were going to be talking about, and I was thinking about the word rhythm, specifically the word rhythm, I was like, how does this have anything to do with rhythm, like keeping a beat or like having a rhythm of life and being organized in life? And then the more that I started hearing some of the other speakers and how they were presenting it, I was like, ooh, this is fantastic. And so last week, Jared covered Sabbath, and if you missed it, you can get all caught up online. But besides stepping on our toes, he said something in the message that I was like, ooh, I've never thought about that before. And so he was talking about how the natural rhythm of life, like our daily lives, everything that we do is centered around the Sabbath. Like everything is centered around the Sabbath. Every 7 days, it's almost like the restart button. So it's like the other day, my internet wasn't working at the house, and I called them, and they were like, did you reset the router? I was like, yes, I reset the router. And they're like, did you reset the little contraption that's behind the router? I was like, I didn't know there was a contraption behind the router. And they were like, you need to reset that too. And I was like, okay. And so like I reset everything, and after I reset everything, the internet was working great again. And that's like Sabbath. It's like we get to get unplugged for just a minute from the world, and we're disconnected. And so it's like at the end of the long week, we're just like, oh, we're just dragging. It's like, I don't want to work anymore. And then you get unplugged for just a minute and you reset. And you plug back in. And you're like, let's go, right? And it's like we click back on it. So I loved that idea of Sabbath being a rhythm of life, putting that into a rhythm of what we should be doing every single day. But today, I want to talk for just a few minutes about the natural rhythm of service. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir when it comes to service, because you guys are all amazing, and you do amazing things for our community. But anyways, I'm going to dive into it. Matthew 23:11. The greatest among you will be your what? Servant. Serving is one of those things that we all know that we're supposed to do, or at least I think most of us understand that we should serve others. But I want to dive into this a little bit today and talk about how and why we should serve. What does it benefit the other person? What does it benefit us? And so when you hear the word serve, I'm just curious. When you hear the word serve, like if I'm up here talking about serve, how many of you think of like serving inside the church? Anybody? One, maybe a couple of you? So like growing up, when I heard the word serve, like if I was going to serve and the pastor was talking on service, it was generally that they were trying to convince me to serve inside the walls of the church. They were trying to get you to be a deacon. They were trying to get you to be on the worship team. They were trying to get you to be on the count team. We had a count team where they would count all the money and everything. They had all these different teams, children's ministry, and all these different ways and areas in which you could serve, which was fantastic. But growing up, I always just thought that that's what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to serve inside the walls of the church because that's what the pastor was talking about. And it wasn't so much that he was preaching against serving outside of the walls of the church. It was just that the center of the message or the focus of the message always seemed to be go straight to things like being a greeter at the door or making coffee or singing on the worship team or helping with setup. And once again, those aren't bad things, and we need people to serve in those ways. But sometimes I think in our minds, as we've heard these messages over and over and over again, we've limited ourselves to this idea that serving God has to happen within the context of the four walls of the church. And the truth is that Jesus never once, aside from reading a scripture inside of a synagogue, never served inside the walls of a church. He didn't. He didn't serve on a committee. He didn't work inside of the church building. Why? Because Christ was the church. He went out to where people actually were, and he served them and met them exactly where they were. He served the sick, the lonely, the hungry, the broken. He served those that were far from God. And in doing so, he showed us what it's like to have a servant's heart, a true servant's heart, and what that looks like. So today I want to challenge you to just really change or challenge your perspective on what it means to serve God. Because serving God doesn't just mean serving in the wall of the church. It doesn't mean just running sound or making coffee. And in fact, if you've been here long enough, you understand that we've limited the number of serve positions that we have. Why? Not because we don't want you serving, but because we want you to serve in an area in which you're passionate about. And I could go around the room and I could tell you who's serving outside of the community and what they're doing. And I might do that in a minute if you guys are okay with that. But just because it's so creative. We have people in here that are on city council. That's serving God, right? You know, city council, that's a government position. Yeah, but they have this awesome perspective, a Christ-like perspective that they can offer to the city. That's amazing, right? We have people who volunteer at food banks. We have people who volunteer to be on nonprofit organization boards. We have people in here who create food drives just in the nick of time before SNAP benefits run out and are helping a whole bunch of people even though they didn't realize that SNAP benefits were going to end, but God was leading them to start a food drive, right? These are all amazing ways that we're serving, not just within the walls of the church, but outside of the walls. So I want to look today at one of the most powerful examples of service that I've ever seen in Scripture. And it's mostly because it deals with feet, okay? So at the Last Supper, the disciples are getting ready for the meal, and per custom, they needed to wash up. That's what they did, right? They walked around in dirty streets with dust and dirt, and they had sandals on, so their feet would have been really dirty, and you don't just wash your hands before you eat. You wash your hands and you wash your feet, right? And so they were getting ready, so they were washing their hands and their feet, but when they came in, Jesus insisted that they allow him to wash their feet. And of course, there's this back and forth banter that's no, you'll never wash my feet because you're too amazing. And Jesus was like, hey, I'm going to wash your feet anyways. And he does it, right? And what's interesting is Jesus was, in this situation, was putting himself in a lower position than his disciples. And in John 13, 12 through 17, we pick up on the story. And it says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You called me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example of what you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is his messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Imagine this moment. Put yourself in their shoes, literally. Get it? Let's take your shoes off, wash your feet. Yeah, thank you, Steve. Steve gets my jokes. Okay. So imagine being in this moment, right? You're literally sitting there at this supper with Jesus, with the Son of God, and he's kneeling down with a towel, with a basin, and asked to wash your feet. He washes off the dirt and the grime from his feet, and then he does the job of the lowest servant in the house. And when he's done, he says, I have set an example for you that you should do what I have done to you. He didn't do it for the recognition. He wasn't trying to prove any point. He was just doing what needed to be done in a humble way. And he teaches us the real greatness is found in humility and serving others. It was cool this morning. I because this is at the top of my mind, I was watching, and I watched somebody, and I'm not going to name names, watch somebody come over, and they accidentally kicked over some coffee. And instead of like before the person that kicked off over the coffee could go get some paper towels and mops and stuff, I saw two other people who had nothing to do with the situation, like immediately go get paper towels, run over there on their hands and feet, and they're scrubbing the coffee off the floor, and they're mopping, and they're going crazy, just getting everything just right, right? And the two people who were involved from the beginning didn't even have to lift a finger, and it was wonderful to watch. They didn't complain about it. There wasn't like a, I can't believe you spilled coffee. No, it was just like, I'll take care of this. No, that's no worries, right? That's the servant's heart that I'm talking about. You don't even have to, like, ask the question, can I help you? Can I do this for you? You just go and you do it. And you don't even need permission for it. But she got you more. She went and she got you more, and you didn't even have to lift a finger. I wasn't going to call you out, Roy. But now we're in this boat, and you did it to yourself. Roy got to sit down while other people served him more coffee and cleaned up his mess. Yeah, all right. But that's the thing. Jesus didn't do this for recognition. He did it and so that he could show us what it's like to be humble, to serve others. And he didn't need a stage or a microphone in order to teach people how to be humble. He literally showed them how to be humble with a basin and a towel. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? To serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So if Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, came not to be served, but to serve, then what should our highest calling be? To serve. That's our posture, right? Our posture should be one of kneeling with a basin and with a towel, ready to serve. And once again, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir because you guys all do this and it's amazing. But Jesus shows us that service isn't confined to just a church building, right? He didn't serve in the church, period. He served wherever he went. In Matthew 25, 35 through 40, Jesus says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in." And when people ask, "Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or strangers?" He answers, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." It's an interesting statement. Whatever you do for the least of these brothers and sisters of whose? Mine. You did for me. Who belongs to Christ? Everybody. Everybody belongs to Christ. Whatever you do for anybody who's in a lesser position than you, you do it for Christ because Christ lives in all of us. That means when you feed the hungry, you're serving Jesus. When you sit with somebody who's lonely, what are you doing? Serving Jesus. When you show kindness to someone who feels forgotten, serving Jesus. It's an act of worship. James 1:27 echoes this. It says, "Religion that our God Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress." Carrie's got a tattoo of this on her arm from Guatemala. When we went to Guatemala, and that's what they were literally doing, was serving the orphans and the widows that were in Guatemala, and it changed our perspective on what it looks like to serve others. And I always tell this story every time I do a message on serving, but I'm going to tell it again because it's really good. So like most of the week that we were in Guatemala, I was digging a ditch like all week long because we had to pour concrete and they didn't have a tractor. So we were all digging by hand. It was supposed to be like this really super long thing and it was kind of deep. So we're out in the heat, we're digging this ditch and we're just like having a lot of fun, goofing off, whatever. Well, there was one day that they were like, "Hey, Matt, do you want to go on the medical mission trip with us today instead of digging a ditch?" And I said, Yes, please. Please. Please don't make me dig the ditch today. So we did. So we went on the medical missions. And so we drove up into this like remote area in Guatemala, and there was like already people waiting outside because they had knew ahead of time that that was when Doc Noonan was going to be there. And so like their team gets all set up, and I was like, well, what do I do? And they were like, okay, so what you're going to do is when they come out of this line and they got their medicine and they got their food and they have everything that they need, you're going to sit here and you're going to pray with them. And I was like, what? I'm gonna pray with them. And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So they get their physical needs met. They get their mental needs met, and then they're gonna come out and they're gonna get their spiritual needs met by like you praying with them. And I was like, okay, I don't speak Spanish, but okay. Like, here's a translator. I was like, great, okay, here we go. So I start praying for people and like asking them, hey, can I pray with you? Can I pray with you? And of course, everyone's like, yeah, of course, you can pray with me. Well, there's this sweet little lady, and she comes out, and she had her medicine and she had her food. And she comes down, and so we pray with her. And when we get done praying, she looks at me, and she says, I'm going to pray for you that God would bless you double what you blessed me with today. And I was like, do what? You know, bless me double what I blessed you with today. Like, we gave you medicine, we gave you food, we've given you all this stuff, like, what does that even mean? Like, I was so confused, right? And so I get back in the evening, and I had my journal with me because I was writing stuff down. I still go back to the journal sometimes, but I was writing stuff down, and I was like, what does she mean double? Like, is it going to be like double? Like, am I going to get like a really good bonus check at work? Is that what it's going to be? Am I going to like, because I did spend a lot of money on this trip, right? Like, is it going to be a big bonus check? Is it going to be like a new car? Is it going to be like, what's like, I'm thinking materialistically. And then all of a sudden I'm like, no, it's not going to be any of that. Like, I don't like, what is this awesome thing that God's going to bless me with? And so it wasn't until I was on the plane ride home that it hit me. He'd already blessed me with it. It was my perspective. God blessed me with a new perspective of life, a new perspective of my relationship with God, a new perspective of what it means to be a Christian, because the people over there have nothing. They have no food, they have no houses, they have nothing, and yet they have the strongest faith of anyone I've ever seen in my life. Why? Because they have to rely on God every single day just to make it, right? And I was like, whoa, like it blew my mind, because all of a sudden I'm like, I have money and I have a house and I have all these things, but like I still need to rely on God every single day. I still need to refresh my mind every single day. Like I still need him every single day. And that new perspective on life has radically changed the way that I've thought about God, the church, people, serving, everything. It's probably why this place exists today. Because the truth is that true service begins long before your hands move. It begins in your heart and in your mind and in your posture and in the way that you approach service. Philippians 2:3-7 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interest, but to each of you, to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Whew. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. He didn't take his daddy's credentials and run with it, right? He earned the respect that we now have for him. He had to earn it through what? Humility. Wow, what a concept, right? How many of you, like, you know people that are like, they do stuff for others, but it's because it's going to like get them ahead, right? I see this happen all the time in corporate world. because it's like this fake, like, oh, I can do that for you. I'll go ahead and put that spreadsheet together for you, and I'll do this, and I'll do that, and I'll do all the things for you. And you're like, that's great, but what's the heart behind why you're doing it? Are you doing it because you know you're going to get a promotion? Or are you doing it because you have a servant's heart? Because I know who's going to get the promotion, right? It's not going to be the one that's doing it out of selfish ambition. It's going to be the one that's doing it out of humility. And I promise you, people can tell the difference, especially you, young generation. Your radar for, like, truth and, like, people being real, man, it's like, way up there. Mine was, like, way down here. Like, it took me a long time to figure out people and if they were being real or if they were being fake. No, you guys know, right? You know when it's real. But serving God isn't about earning his approval, because we already have his love, and we don't have to earn God's respect or love or grace or mercy or any of those things. We don't have to earn any of that, yet he calls us to serve. And when we realize how deeply Jesus has served us, that he's already washed our feet by washing our sins away, our natural response should be, Lord, how can I serve you back? It's a posture of being thankful for what he's done, right? We can serve people out of this idea that it's what we're supposed to do, or we can serve with the posture of this idea of, I want to serve you because I see how you served others. Romans 12:1 says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper what? Worship. When you serve others, you're worshiping God just as much as when you sing a song here on a Sunday morning. And here's the beautiful thing about serving outside of the church walls. When you're serving outside of the church walls and service is worship, you're worshiping outside of the walls of the church too. And others get to see your worship, your posture, your ability to do those things. And it draws people to God, not away from him. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I had a girl in my office the other day. It was a freshman, actually. And we were looking at a resume and doing a bunch of stuff. And I don't know, for whatever reason, sometimes when I'm with students, they just start talking about God. I don't know how it happens. I promise I'm not like forcing conversations about God on them. It just pops up. But anyway, she said, you know, I was really frustrated the other day because I was in the lunchroom and this guy just comes up to me randomly and says, why do you hate God? And I was like, I don't know. And they're like, why don't you believe in him? And she's like, I don't know. And he was like, well, you should. And she was like, no thank you, right? But like, what did that do for her? Other than maybe turn her away even further away from God. She's like, I don't believe in God, but man, like that's not the right way to show me how to. I was like, I'm sorry. That was really bad. That was a really bad move on that guy's part, right? Like, I understand he's concerned about you, but at the same time, that's not how you're gonna get people to come to Christ. What is letting your light shine before others so that they can see your good deeds and they see you glorifying your Father in heaven. They're like, man, like he's amazing or she's amazing. Like she is serving others. She's so humble. She's so real. He's so real, whatever. That's when people are going to turn their hearts, not when you're yelling at them in the cafeteria. Come on now, just trying to eat my lunch. People are not going to remember even my sermon today. They're not going to remember what I say today. They're not going to remember what they hear. But they'll never forget how you served them, ever. Your act of kindness might open the door, and that's the very thing that leads someone to Christ. Because when they experience his love through your hands, they begin to wonder about the source behind why you're so awesome. The church gathers to serve, not serves to gather. The church gathers to serve, not serves to gather. Let's be clear. The church isn't a place where we come to hide from the world. This isn't a place we go to hide from the world. It's a place we come to refuel so that we can go out and serve the world. In Acts 2:44, it's talking about the early believers. They gathered together and they worshiped. They shared meals together. They learned together. They met each other's needs. And it was this really cool moment of just like, they would come together and they'd be like, there'd be one person that might be, say like, oh yeah, today like I got a notice from the Romans that I owe on my taxes, and it's going to be way more than I can pay. And people are like digging in their pockets and they're pulling out money and they're like, okay, let's meet this need, right? And there's someone else and they're like, oh man, like I really I messed up and I got into some debt and now I can't really get out of the debt. I don't know what I'm going to do. People are like, oh wait, we got you, everyone, chip in a little bit. Let's meet this need here, right? And that's why they were meeting together daily. Was because it was like this time where they could just share resources, share ideas, they could worship together, they could pray together, and they did all of this. Why? Because the Lord said that he would add to their number daily those who are being saved. And it wasn't the church experience that saved the people. It wasn't the worship service or the worship leader or the sermon that was preached. It was this idea that like, oh, if I gather with all of you, you're going to meet my needs too? Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I went in on that, right? Like, let's go join that. It's like, I would. Absolutely. You telling me that you're going to help cover my debt too? Yeah, let's do that. That's amazing. Why? Because their faith was visible and their service made the message believable. We don't serve others to fill seats. We serve to fill hearts with the love of God. And that's what real ministry looks like. So now the question is, how does this all fit into the idea of sacred rhythms? So let me ask you a question. We understand that when we serve others, they're obviously getting something out of it, right? When we serve others, they're getting something out of it because they're getting the food we're serving them, they're getting the advice we're serving, whatever it is that we're doing for them, they're getting something out of it. What do we get out of service? Gratitude? Good. Anyone else? Yeah, seeing their joy? Good. Anyone else? Just those two things? Seeing hope? Yeah, what was someone else saying? Yeah, raising rising tides raise all ships or whatever. Yeah, absolutely. Anyone else? Okay. You weren't paying attention? So the question is, we know like when we serve others, they get something out of it. What do we get out of it when we serve others? Peace, blessings, disciple, a new perspective. Good. Yes. Yeah, these are all right answers, by the way. There is no wrong answer here. We experience joy, fulfillment. We build purpose and meaning. We build better communities and relationships with others. We get new perspectives on life. Some of you know that we have a folder that we keep like a bunch of different sermon ideas in. And so we have like this running list of just sermons that we potentially will do in the next little bit. And one of the ideas that we had to talk about was the different types of discipline that we need to have to live a balanced life. So if you guys remember back to like, I don't know, this is like 2 years ago, Carrie had the stool. You remember the stool? The three-legged stool that had like God and it had Jesus and it had the Holy Spirit. And then we were equating like God to like your mental health or like your mind. We were equating the Holy Spirit to like your spiritual health or to your spirit. And then we were equating like the hands of Christ to like your physical attributes because he was physically here, right? And so it was like head, hands, and heart. And so we like had all of these three stools. And if you have like, if you have all the knowledge in the world of who God is, you can still not be living a balanced life because you might not be spiritually feeding yourself, or you might not be serving anybody. You can be as smart as you want to be and know the word front to back, but if you're not serving others, that part of your stool is broken, right? And so it's not going to balance out. And so we talked about the idea of like disciplines, like having mental, physical, and spiritual disciplines, and how we have to kind of balance some of those in order for us to live a really, really, really good life. And I'm not even talking about like getting into heaven. I'm just talking about for us, like what we get out of it when we have these balanced lives. So like, for example, mentally and spiritually, I'm feeding myself pretty well. Physically, I'm feeding myself very poorly. Does that make sense? So like, it's all about this idea of like, how do we balance all of these things in life? And so I want to relate this into service. So each of these sacred rhythms that we've talked about already, in some form or fashion, play into the idea of it helping our spiritual, mental, or physical health. Okay? So think about it. Acts 20:35 says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, so it's what it's saying is, it's more blessed to give somebody something than to receive something. So like both parties, I'm getting something out more out of what I'm doing for you. So if I'm serving you, I'm the one that's actually getting more. So that story that I told you in Guatemala, this lady's praying this prayer that I'm going to get more out of it, I did, right? I was more blessed than she was, okay? So is that statement true? Is it true? Do you believe that? Like when you serve others, do you believe that you're getting more blessed than the person you're serving? Okay, good. So as we serve others, this is how mentally it's benefiting us. This is straight from ChatGPT, y'all. Serving others can boost mental health by releasing good-feeling chemicals like endorphins and dopamine, which reduce stress and increase happiness. Studies show that helping others improves self-esteem, provides a sense of purpose, and strengthens social connections, while also correlating with better overall life satisfaction. This is because acts of service, from small gestures to formal volunteering, activate the brain's reward system and shift focus away from personal problems. I have a real life example of this. I knew a lady when I was at a previous church, and she was miserable all the time. And every Sunday that I would come into church, I would try to avoid her because she would come up and she would tell me every single problem that she ran into that week. And it was awful. And I did not want to talk to her because it was just problem after problem after problem after problem after problem, right? And like she did this to everyone. It wasn't just like she did it to one person. It was like every person in the room had to know all of her problems, and it was awful. And then one day she came in and I looked at her. And I was like, uh-oh, I made eye contact. And she smiled at me and she walked over and she was like, guess what I did this week? And I was like, what did you do? And she's like, I volunteered at a food bank. And I was like, oh yeah? And she's like, yeah, it was amazing. I had so much fun serving others and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, is that it? She's like, yeah, I'm going to keep doing it every single week. I really love it. And I'm like, okay. Right? Like it was this awkward moment of like, wow. But it can, like mentally, it can change your perspective and change the way you think. Like when you get in those situations and you figure out that there's someone that has more problems than you, a lot of times that's a good way to change your perspective because you're like, oh, I'm not the craziest one in the room. Okay, this is great news. Right? This is great news. All right, what about physical health? Serving others can benefit your physical health by reducing stress, which lowers your blood pressure, and by promoting a more active lifestyle. It can also lead to longer lifespans and stronger immune functions, partly due to the release of the feel-good chemicals like endorphins and dopamine in the brain. So as your reward system in your brain is telling you that you're doing something good, it's lowering your stress levels, which lowers your blood cholesterol, which allows you to live longer. You want to live a long life? Serve others. As we serve others, spiritual example, serving others is what we are called to do, of course. Like, we all know that. It's everything Jesus taught us to do and to be. In other words, when we're serving others, we're carrying out our purpose and our mission that we've been put on the earth to do. And anytime we're living in our purpose, we are fulfilled, yes? Not to mention that you gain a fresh perspective of the people that you are serving. And it gives you empathy for those who you're assisting. I can tell you that before I met a man named Joseph Cruz, who many of you know, who runs Stepping Stones this way. Before I met Joseph Cruz, I did not have a very good opinion of recovering addicts. I'm sorry, I was wrong. I know I'm wrong now, but I didn't have a good opinion of them. I was like, they're lazy, they just need to get their lives together, I just can't believe that, blah, 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 blah. And like, it was just this really sour, bad attitude towards them. And then the more I got to know Joseph and hanging out with Joseph, who was a recovering addict, and I saw his work ethic, and I saw how hard he like endured through situations, and like even through like pain and like loss and all this stuff, like he just keeps enduring through all this with like this amazing grace. Like the amount of grace that this man has is just unbelievable, because he's been given so much grace. He understands how to give grace back in like massive quantities, and he just keeps giving and giving. And I'm like, oh, I get it now, right? It gave me empathy towards that population of people who are struggling with addiction and with overcoming those things. It changed the way that I saw it. And the more that I go out and I diversify my serving, the more I understand what the issues are in the community, the more I understand what's going on. And all of this helps me with my spiritual walk, with my spiritual life, because when I run into these situations with my own personal life, I know where to turn to. I know who to talk to. I know who to lead people to, because sometimes there are people that I can't help, but Joseph Cruz can, right? There's some people that I can't help, but Micah can. There's some people that I can't help, but Gayla can. There's some people I can't help, but Laura can, right? There's this idea that if we are all spiritually connected and we know what's going on in our community and we see the different organizations, we understand the way they work and intertwine all together, that allows us to have this amazing ability to really make a population level change in the world around us. And with everything that Carrie was talking about earlier, now more than ever, we need to have empathy to others. It's not just that, well, if they had a better job, then they'd be able to afford, they wouldn't be on food stamps, and my taxes paid for those food stamps, and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's just like, no, like, get over it already, right? Go out and serve at a food, like, go serve at the food bank over here. Go hand out groceries if you have the time on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, whenever. Probably 9 o'clock now because it's getting cold. Go help Second Baptist Church with their food bank by helping them organize their shelves or taking them cans of food every week or whatever it may be. But, like, don't sit around and talk about how, well, yeah, if they would just, you know, if they just made more money, then they wouldn't have to get the food stamps and they wouldn't be in this situation to begin with or whatever. Or, like, my favorite is, like, if they would just stop buying cigarettes, then they'd be able to afford their food. And it's like, do you know how hard it is for them to quit that? Like, come on now. Let's be realistic. Let's be the hands and feet instead of trying to be some mouthpiece of something, right? So, church, what would happen if we began every act of service, every meal, every kind word, every moment with compassion as something that we did directly for Jesus? What if we stopped asking, where can I serve in the church, and started asking, who can I serve like Christ? Because when the church begins to serve like Christ, the world sees Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for showing us what true service looks like. We thank you, God, that you came not to be served, but to serve. So help us, God, to see beyond the walls of this church and open our eyes to the people that you've placed around us. Those that are hurting, those that are lonely, those that are in need. And give us, God, the heart of a servant, the humility of Christ, and the courage to love like you love. God, we pray that everything that we do, every moment of our lives, God, that it would glorify you. Not that it would detract from humanity, but God, that it would serve humanity. Help us, God, to get out of our own way with our words and with our malice. Help us to get out of our own way with hatred towards others, but turn our hearts, God, soften our hearts, allow our hearts to be molded by you so that we can become the humble servant that you've called us to be in this world and in the space that you've put us in, God. May everything that we do glorify you and your name. That's all this we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.